The National Broadcasting Company presents The Big Show, starring the glamorous, unpredictable Tallulah Bankhead. For the next hour and 30 minutes, you will be entertained by some of the biggest names in show business.
No, no, it isn't the breeze.
Buck Benny, the two-fisted, quick-triggered marksman who shoots from the hip and never misses.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of The Big Show. We haven't had one in a while. Sorry about that, but here's one from this week. This is one of the famous lost episodes that recently have been found. And what's delightful about this one is it features singer Tony Bennett, who, as I record this in 2022, is still with us. And that's charming and wonderful. He does have Alzheimer's now, though. And he just did a performance this summer with Lady Gaga. And it was just presented recently in December, I think it was aired on CBS. And if you want to catch the performance, it's a delightful performance. They do a really beautiful job. He's 95 years old, and they did the performance, like I said, on CBS, and you can catch it on Paramount Plus streaming service. It's over there, and certainly worth your while to at least get a free subscription, temporary one or whatever, 7-day or 30-day or whatever they offer, and listen to this wonderful performance. They also have, just to tell you what else you can watch while you're over there, they also have the spinoff of Kevin Costner's Yellowstone. They have, it's called 1883, I think. And we're enjoying it. They've got, I think, 4 episodes out of it now, and it's releasing a new episode every week. It's very enjoyable. It takes place, of course, back in 1883, and it's a fun show to watch. Also, all the new Star Trek shows are over there. So there's lots of things for you to watch over there if you want, and just check it out. I don't work for them or anything. I'm just, because I am pumping Tony Bennett, I figured I'll pump their site where you can actually see Tony Bennett. They also have clips on YouTube that you can watch of the performance, some of it, but not much of it. The other thing I'm going to do, I'm not going to keep us long. Also, Fred Allen's on this episode, and Phil Foster, June Havoc, Betty Hutton, Vera Lynn, and, of course, Tallulah Bankhead. But I'm going to present to you, because I thought it was interesting, to hear Anderson Cooper on 60 Minutes interviewing Tony Bennett and telling us about his story, and he interviews Lady Gaga. I was going to cut it down, but it's only 13 minutes long anyway, so I'll just present the whole thing to you. And after that, the show will start up, The Big Show. And I hope you're going to enjoy the whole evening's worth of events. It's a pretty special presentation, so I hope you enjoy all of it. Certainly worthwhile listening to that 13 minutes about the incredible Tony Bennett. So we'll see you folks next time. Enjoy.
When Tony Bennett's family announced he had Alzheimer's disease in February, few of the 94-year-old singer's fans imagined they'd ever see him on stage again. But this summer, with his family's help, the legendary crooner began rehearsing for 2 concerts at Radio City Music Hall with his friend Lady Gaga. No one knew for sure if Tony would be able to pull it off, but his family believed that Tony's story could give hope to others struggling with Alzheimer's, and invited us to follow him preparing for what would likely be his final act.
I left my heart in San Francisco.
Tony Bennett has been singing hits and swinging jazz
high on a hill
for 7 decades. But for Tony now, those years are a dim memory, lost in the fog of dementia from Alzheimer's. He spends much of his time in his New York apartment looking through books and old photos.
What are these of?
We met Tony and his wife Susan in June, a few weeks before his 95th birthday.
Is that Bob Hope?
Bob and Dolores.
They sent that for your 75th birthday, and in a month and a half, you're going to be 95. How about that?
It's amazing.
Do you feel 95? You don't look it.
How old do you feel, Tony?
95.
Tony has his good moments, but Susan has to do most of the talking. She says he first grew concerned about his memory 5 years ago.
We came home one night and he said, Susan, he said, I'm having a hard time remembering the names of the musicians.
The musicians he was playing with.
Yeah, who he works with all the time. And so it was unusual. And I said, well, do you want to go see a doctor about it? And he said, I do.
Did you know right away that it was Alzheimer's?
Yeah.
Dr. Gayatri Devi is Tony's neurologist. She diagnosed him in 2017.
Do you know what is happening in Tony's brain?
No one really knows, but I know that his hippocampus, which is the grand central station of memories and the conduit through which we retrieve memories as well as lay down memories, is not working very well.
Look at this, Tom.
Wow, what's that?
That's a painting that you did.
Susan and Tony have been together for more than 30 years. She's now his full-time caregiver.
How much does Tony understand about what's going on around him at any given time?
Every day is different. Tony, late at night, sometimes early in the morning, he's more alert, if I can use that word. So I'll tell him, Tony, you're going to be on 60 Minutes. He's like, great. I said, you remember that show, 60 Minutes? He's like, I do. But in any other given moment, he won't know.
I mean, he recognizes you.
He recognizes me, thank goodness. His children. You know, we are blessed in a lot of ways. He's very sweet. He doesn't know he has it.
He doesn't know he has Alzheimer's.
What he does know is that he's at home, not performing on stage. He'd continued to sing after his diagnosis, but the pandemic took him off the road. Susan says it's been hard on him.
It was Gayatri Devi, our doctor, who said, if he wants to sing, let him sing, because that's the best thing for him. You know, all the meds and all the treatments they do to stimulate your brain, for him, there's nothing more stimulating than performing.
Tony's oldest son and manager, Danny Bennett, came up with the idea of the Radio City Concerts in August with Lady Gaga. It'll be broadcast on CBS later this fall.
The pandemic was a big thing for me, like ending his career on that.
It couldn't end that way.
Couldn't end that way. After all that he did. I don't mean a thing.
Tony and Lady Gaga released their first album together in 2014. In 2018, he was able to record another album with her, which was just released this past week. By June, however, his disease had progressed. And Susan told us she wasn't sure exactly what would happen at the planned Radio City concert.
How you doing, handsome?
Okay.
You want to look over here at me?
But when it was time to rehearse, something incredible happened. Tony's accompanist, Lee Musiker, began playing, and suddenly, the legendary showman was back.
Let someone stop believing in you. Let him hold out his hand. Let him find you and watch what happens. Smile though your heart is aching. Smile even though it's breaking.
He had no notes, no cue cards.
When there are clouds in the sky, you'll get by.
We were amazed. All his old songs were somehow still there. He sang an hour-long set from memory.
If you just smile.
Bravo, Tony.
Thank you.
That was incredible. You just start playing something and it's all there?
When I start playing, Tony is completely engaged, and this is a whole new performance, and new phrases, new nuance, nothing short of a miracle.
Dr. Gayatri Devi explained how a transformation like that was possible.
people respond differently depending on their strengths. In Tony's case, it's his musical memory, his ability to be a performer. Those are an innate and hardwired part of his brain. So even though he doesn't know what the day might be or where his apartment is, he still can sing the whole repertoire of the American Songbook and move people.
How does music stimulate the brain?
It engages multiple different parts of the brain, right? So there's the auditory cortex for hearing. There's the part of the brain that deals with movement and dance. There's the visual system that gets engaged. So it's kind of like a whole brain activator.
Tony could remember the songs, but could he remember how to perform them in front of thousands of people? Lady Gaga knew it wasn't going to be easy.
And you know, Anderson, for the first couple of weeks that I saw Tony since COVID, he called me sweetheart. But I wasn't sure he knew who I was.
In rehearsals this July, she found new ways to connect and communicate with her old friend. When asking him questions, she'd keep it simple.
For example, if I were to say, Tony, would you like to sing Love for Sale? He'll say, yeah. And if I say, Tony, would you like to sing Love for Sale? Or It Don't Mean a Thing If It Ain't Got That Swing, he might not have as easy of a response.
Do you want to sing Anything Goes?
Yeah.
All right, great. Anything Goes, everyone.
When that music comes on, it's something happens to him. He knows exactly what he's doing. And what's important for me, actually, just to make sure that I don't get in the way of that.
On opening night in early August, Radio City's 6,000 seats were sold out. It was Tony's 95th birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
And his fans were waiting.
We love you, Tony!
Lady Gaga opened the show. Backstage, Susan did her best to remind Tony what was happening.
We're going to watch Lady Gaga's set.
Right.
And then you're going to sing. Okay?
How many songs am I singing?
I'll tell you what you're going to sing.
When it was time, they walked toward the stage together. Then the lights went out and the curtain went up.
Once he saw the audience, and you know, when he raises his hands, I knew we were all right. Because he became himself. He just turned on. You know, it was like a light switch.
Let someone start believing in you. Let him hold out his hand. Let him find you and watch what happens. Stepping out with my baby can't go wrong, cause I'm in right. Ask me, when will that day be? The big day may be tonight. This is all I ask.
There may have been a few missteps, but the crowd didn't care. It was Tony's night, and the old crooner was in command.
Beautiful girls walk a little slower when you walk by me.
He sang more than a dozen songs and got at least 20 standing ovations.
Should we keep going? Wow! What a great audience.
When it came time for Lady Gaga to join him for some final duets, listen to what Tony said as she appeared on stage.
Hey, Tony. That's the first time that Tony said my name in a long time.
Really? In all the weeks leading up to it, he hadn't said your name? Wow.
I had to keep it together because we had a sold-out show and I have a job to do. But I'll tell you, when I walked out on that stage and he said, it's Lady Gaga, my friend saw me. And it was very special.
Go to the opera and I stay one away.
That's why. Likes the free,
free,
fresh,
fresh
wind in her hair. Life without care.
But you know, Tom, I'm kind of broke.
so.
And at the end of the night, Lady Gaga was there to walk Tony Bennett off the stage one last time.
It's the last thing that I said to Tony on stage was, Mr. Bennett, it would be my honor if I could escort you off the stage. And he said, okay. And I did. And just simply being the woman that got to walk him off stage, that's enough for me.
You were so amazing.
The public loved it.
They did. You were spectacular.
Thank you.
Everybody, Mr. Tony Bennett.
Yeah, let's go.
I thought it was a triumph, really. It's like, climbing Mount Olympus, and he made it.
A few days after that triumph, we met Tony and Susan on their daily walk in Central Park.
How did you feel about the concert the other night?
I don't know what you mean.
I saw you at Radio City. You did a great job.
Oh, thank you very much.
Tony had no memory of playing Radio City at all.
Is this a sad story? Tony Bennett's last performance?
No, it's not a sad story. It's emotional. It's hard to watch somebody change. I think what's been beautiful about this and what's been challenging is to see how it affects him in some ways, but to see how it doesn't affect his talent. I think he really pushed through something to give the world the gift of knowing that things can change and you can still be magnificent.
Your golden sun will shine for me.
The National Broadcasting Company presents The Big Show, the first half hour presented by the makers of Reynolds Aluminum, the Reynolds Metals Company, and starring the glamorous, unpredictable Tallulah Bankhead. For the next hour and 30 minutes, you will be entertained by some of the biggest names in show business. Such bright stars as
Fred Allen,
Tony Bennett,
Bill Foster,
June Haver,
Cortland Harper,
Betty Hutton,
Vera Lynn,
Shepard Strudwick,
Meredith Wilson,
and my name, darlings, is Tallulah Bankhead. Well, darlings, I simply must tell you about a fascinating thing that happened to me just a few moments ago. I was walking from my hotel to the theater. Now, I don't like walking particularly, but I have a poodle coat, and I have to take it out now and then. Well, anyway, as I was walking along, a man stopped me and said, "Hello, Montgomery, Alabama." That's my hometown, you know. Well, I didn't know the man, so I simply said hello, and I continued walking. You know me, darlings. Besides, he looked married. But he stopped me. He said, "You don't recognize me, do you?" And I really didn't recognize him because I don't recognize anybody without glasses, and he wasn't wearing glasses. So he told me his name. I still didn't remember him, but just to be polite, I said, "Oh, sure, you bet, I'm glad to see you again." He kept me standing there, you know, making small talk about Montgomery, and all the while I was trying to place him. Finally he said, "You know who else is up here for Montgomery and doing very well?" And I said, "No, darling, who?" And he said, "Tallulah Bankhead." Well, anyway, I'm glad to know I'm doing well. And I'll tell you somebody else who is doing well. Our darling sponsor, the Reynolds Metals Company. They've got the golden touch.
Well, not exactly, Miss Bankhead. It was old King Midas who had the golden touch. You remember the legend, everything he touched turned to gold. Well, nowadays, it seems that almost everything you touch around you is turning to aluminum. Automobiles and household appliances are turning more and more to Reynolds aluminum. The roofing and siding of our farms, Reynolds aluminum. Those awkward bales of insulation that were stuffed into attics and walls,
They're turning now to bright rolls of Reynolds Aluminum Reflective Insulation. And in America's kitchens, the women are turning out whole meals cooked so much easier, so much better, in Reynolds Wrap, the original and genuine, the pure aluminum foil. Turn around and look. Everywhere, it's the age of aluminum. Reynolds Aluminum.
Well, darlings, I just want to show you how a rumor can get around about somebody who's absolutely innocent. The latest rumor is about me. The rumor is that next season I'm going to play second base for the New York Giants. Now, don't laugh. The whole thing started yesterday at rehearsals, right here with the guests on this week's show. It began quite innocently enough when Fred Allen and Portland Hopper were first to arrive.
Hello, Tallulah.
Hello, Portland, darling. Glad to see you. Fred, how's Trix?
Oh, so-so, Tallulah.
That's all I said, darling. How's Trix? Well, that was the entire conversation. Now, watch this little monster grow. Fred and Portland went over to a corner, and I noticed them with their heads together. And I get a load of this dialogue.
Fred, did you hear what Tallulah said to you?
Yeah, she asked me how I was. Why?
Well, she said, how's Trix?
Yeah.
Why would she suddenly want to know about your juggling act?
My juggling act?
Maybe that was a hint you ought to go back to vaudeville.
But vaudeville is dead.
Well, isn't that dropping a hint?
Say, that's right. She dropped a hint that I ought to be back in vaudeville, and everybody knows that vaudeville is dead. So you know what she wants me to do, and I'm not going to do it.
That's not in the script.
Not on short notice.
Now, remember, darling, that's all I said. How's Trix? If it had been anybody but Fred and Porty, I would have been my usual pleasant self and said, get lost. But I had to say, how's Trix? Now, watch this little nauseating, revolting plot develop when our English star, Vera Lynn, came in and joined Fred in Portland.
Hello, Fred. Hello, Portland. It's so nice to be on the show with you both again.
Well, thank you, Vera. It's a good thing you got here this week. Next week, it would have been too late.
What do you mean?
Well, Tallulah as much as asked him not to come on the show anymore.
But I'll be ready for her. I'm going to get out my Indian clubs. I'll call the pawn shop tonight. Portland, remind me to make a reservation at Shapiro's rehearsal hall. Will I be ready for her?
All I said was, how's Trix? Well, that's all Vera Lynn had to hear. Now, she's from England, you know, takes everything very literally. And then Phil Foster came in. He's from Brooklyn, you know, takes everything illiterately. Well, Vera just couldn't wait to tell him.
Phil, I just can't wait to tell you. Have you heard the news?
What? The British are coming.
No. Worse than that. I heard there were Indians here in America, but I didn't know they had a club. And Tallulah's given Fred Allen the sack, but he is not taking it lying down. He's starting an uprising among the Indians. I heard him tell Portland to call up Chief Shapiro at the reservation.
What's with you? No insult intended to a British cousin, but you got rocks in your head. There ain't no more Indians. You all went back to India.
Now, there's a bright lad. Well, you know what he told me this morning. He's telling to be a doctor, and he's written a book called Brain Surgery, Self-Taught. But Tony Bennett has just come in. I'm sure Phil Foster will tell him how ridiculous the whole vicious rumor is.
Hello, Phil.
How?
What?
I'm an Indian. If you can't beat him, join him. The Indians are on an uprising. They got Tallulah and Fred tied up in a sack.
Well, who's going to do this show?
I got it. There's only one way. Who fights evil? Hopalong Cassidy. That's who.
All I said was, how's Trix? If I'd only learned to keep my mouth shut, this rumor would never have gotten started. Come to think of it, if I'd learned to keep my mouth shut, Tallulah Bankhead would never have gotten started. But next, June Haver came in, and Tony rushed right over to her.
Hey, did you hear, June? Tallulah's going off the big show, and Hopalong Cassidy is taking over.
Hop along, replacing drag along. Where did you get this news?
Phil Foster told me.
Well, you got it straight from the horse's mouth, all right.
Well, with that news under her girdle, June just couldn't wait to spread it around. Shepard Strudwick came in next, and June was just busting out all over.
Shepard. Yes?
They're turning the big show into a Western, and they're thinking of getting Hopalong Cassidy, but he's anonymous in television, you know. So here's your chance. Now, can you break a bronc, or rope a steer, or tote a barge, or lift that veil, or ride a horse over hill and dale, Evans?
Well, I don't know much about the West.
Well, then why don't you ask Betty Hutton, hmm? She was in Annie Get Your Gun. Maybe she'll team up with you.
Good idea, partner.
All I said was ostrich.
Betty.
Yes, Shep.
I just got a tip that Tallulah's leaving the big show, and they want you to take a place.
Yeah? Gee, that sounds swell. Hello, darlings. How are you, darlings?
Now, wait a minute. It's going to be a Western show.
Oh, yeah, that's easy. Giddy up, darling. They went that way, darling.
I'll be shooting you in all the old familiar places.
How's that, Shep?
That's swell. But this is a big job, Betty. The big show takes a lot of work. Keep you busy all week.
Oh, who cares? I'll work night and day. I'll give up my dates with my boyfriend. He'll understand. Or will he? Hey, maybe he'll start looking around for somebody that isn't working. And who won't be working? Tallulah Bankhead. So that's the gimmick, is it? Now, just a minute. Hold the phone. Tallulah, I want to talk to you.
Yes, darling.
Yes, darling.
Don't give me that. You stay away from my boyfriend, you understand?
Your boyfriend?
Yeah, he's just your type. 6'6", a giant of a man, and he's all mine. You won't get to first base with him.
And that, darlings, is how the rumor started that I was going to play second base for the Giants. Well, darlings, there is a rumor around town that Vera Lynn, the lovely and talented singer we brought over from England, is going to sing one of her top recording hits in England. This rumor is absolutely true. And the song is My Friend the Robin. Listen now to Vera Lynn sing it, accompanied by Meredith Wilson and the orchestra. And Meredith, s'il vous plaît.
My friend the Robin keeps singing a song. My friend the Robin, hippity hopping along. He says, be happy, how can he be wrong? My friend the Robin, hippity hopping along. He says, cheer up, skies will clear up. Give yourself a treat. Give a smile to all the while to everybody you meet. My friend the Robin keep singing a song. My friend the Robin, hippity hopping along. My friend the Robin, hippity hopping along. My friend the Robin, hippity hopping along. He says, cheer up, skies will clear up, give yourself a treat. Give a smile to all the while to everybody you meet. My friend the Robin keeps singing a song. My friend the Robin, hippity hoppity, hippity hoppity, keeps on singing a song, hippity hopping along.
Bravo, Vera Lynn. Beautifully sung, darling. Come over here. I want to chat with you, sweetie. You've been in America now for a whole week. Now tell me, Vera, how about the American men? Have you met any interesting specimens?
As a matter of fact, I met a very handsome man the other day. He has an office in one of those tall buildings and wavy blonde hair.
Oh, I've always wanted to meet a man with a tall building and wavy blonde hair. Did he show you the town? You should get acquainted with New York, darling.
Oh, I have been. I've been doing a lot of walking around the city. And the people here are so friendly. You pass a corner and men talk to you. And fellows drive by in cars and offer you a lift. It's so refreshing to find such friendliness. It's a real pick-me-up.
You mean pick up, darling. I hope you didn't accept any of those lifts.
Oh, yes, I did. I told you I've been doing a lot of walking.
Good girl. I do mean good.
One of the things I've been dying to see is one of your baseball games.
Oh, well, darling, this isn't the season for it, you see. Now, baseball is our version of your cricket matches. You know, I saw a cricket match in England, and you know what impressed me was that they play on, and on, and on, far into the night. Doesn't the referee ever call the game on account of darkness?
Oh, no. You know the old saying, the sun never sets on the British umpire.
Very funny. I suppose that's the kind of humor they have on radio in England.
Well, as a matter of fact, Tallulah, I heard that joke on one of our most popular English programs over the BBC.
Yeah, I heard that joke, BC. Yeah, but speaking of popular programs, Vera, we judge a program's popularity a little differently over here than you do in England. Now, a program is judged by the number of people listening to it. And we discover how many listeners a program has by telephoning while the show is on the air. Now, let me show you how popular this program is. I'll make a few phone calls right here. I'll just pick up a number at random. Let's say, a random 82033. There we are, it's ringing now. I hope these people have a telephone. Oh, hello, madam. I'm making a survey of radio programs. What program are you listening to now? Oh, The Big Show with Lula Bankhead. Isn't that sweet? Oh, you listen to it every week? And how do you like the show? It what? Will you spell that, please? It, S-T-I... Oh, it stimulates you. Thank you very much. Goodbye. Had you worried for a minute, didn't I, darling? Well, let's press on. Now, let's make another number. Any number that pops into my mouth. Say, Bridge, 52446. How do you do, sir? I'm calling to make a survey of what program you're... Well, I better get an answer first. Hello, sir. I'm making a survey of radio programs. What is your favorite radio program? Oh, you darling. Really? The Big Show? Oh, just one criticism? Well, now, what is that, darling? You'd like to hear Tallulah sing more? Isn't that sweet? And what is your name, sir? Now, just a moment. I'm not so fast. Will you spell it? N-A-P-O-L-E. Yes, Napoleon Bonaparte. And your address? B-E-double-L-E-V. Bellevue, yes. Is that an apartment, a house, or a hotel? A palace? Well, how cozy for you. Well, thank you very much, Your Highness. You wouldn't believe it, darling. He's just crazy about this program. Now we'll try another number. The first one that comes to my head, Benadryl 99422. I put that in. Hello, hello, sir. I'm making a radio survey. Are you listening to your radio? Oh, you're not? But would you mind telling me what you are doing? What? Oh, you're robbing the house? Well, that's nice. Would you mind turning on the radio there and listening to this program in case the rating people... Oh, your arms are full of silverware and fur coats. Well, how'd you happen to pick that house to break into? Oh, I see. You knew the people were going to a radio broadcast. Well, how'd you know that? Oh, you live next door. Well, that's neighborly. At least you don't rob strangers. Oh, by the way, you don't happen to know which broadcast they went to? Oh, The Big Show. Well, now, isn't that a coincidence? What do they look like? She was wearing a hat with a... Yeah, uh-huh. And he had on a... Oh, yeah, I see him. Hello, darling. regards from your next-door neighbor. Well, goodbye, sir, and good hunting. Well, I'll try one more call. Any old number. Columbus, 1492. That's an old number.
Hello.
Hello, sir. What program are you listening to?
Well, there's only one program for me on Sunday nights. That's The Big Show.
Oh, you darling. And what business are you in?
I'm a representative of the Reynolds Metals Company.
What a sneaky way to get in a big, fat commercial.
Well, not exactly fat, Miss Bankhead, but as a matter of fact, I want to say something about excess weight. You see, excess weight is a problem not only with people, but with most everything that people use. Industry, with its high-speed assembly lines, seeks to avoid excess weight in the shipping of materials, in the labor of their handling, and in the end product as well. Aluminum is the answer. Light, strong, rust-proof Reynolds aluminum. Of course, military equipment is the best example. Reynolds aluminum saves literally tons of weight in every shipment. With these military needs growing daily and with civilian demands urgent too, let's be thankful for competition in the aluminum industry. Competition that pushes production up and keeps the price low. Aluminum is the only basic metal that costs less today than before World War II. And remember, please, Reynolds brought competition to this industry. The Reynolds Metals Company, pioneers of progress through aluminum.
And now, darlings, it's big show time to welcome a girl who rates star billing in one of the season's hit plays, Miss June Havoc. Miss Havoc is supported by Mr. Shepard Studwick in the role of Senator Henderson. We bring you a scene from Louis Vuitton's Broadway success, Affairs of State.
I'm a school teacher from Minneapolis named Irene Elliott. I came to Washington aspiring to nothing more important than working for my uncle. Now I find myself about to enter into a marriage of convenience with a certain Senator Henderson. I believe he's the only politician who is handsome and distinguished and a millionaire. He desperately needs a family portrait to make himself politically glamorous. In other words, the bachelor senator is standing in need of a wife. Well, now, it might be interesting, you know? But I'm going to have to get well paid for it. Now, I make $50 a week as it is, so I'm going to hit him up for $60. Here he comes. He is sort of attractive, if you like men, that is. Now I come to think of it, I do.
This will be an unusual interview, won't it, Miss Elliott?
Life is ordinarily so uneventful. It can afford to make an exception for once.
Yes.
Yeah.
I assume the situation's been explained to you.
I know only the essentials. That I should live here as if I were your wife, but of course, only in appearance. And this would run for an indefinite time, depending on circumstances which do not concern me.
And that's it.
But then, what would I have to do? What are the usual duties of a wife in name only?
Exactly those of a real wife, with a minor exception.
But they vary so much from one home to the next. I'd appreciate a brief summary.
Well, won't you sit down?
Thank you.
First of all, I should like you to act as hostess for entertaining dinners, to keep track of the servants. In a word, to be completely mistress of the house.
Good. No office work? Copying? Filing? Typing?
I have two secretaries.
Anyway, I know shorthand. In an emergency.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Usually I live here, but I spend a lot of time in Colorado, and I also take other trips.
Would I go with you?
Sometimes, depending on where or how long, but you might, have to.
That's fine. I love to travel. What attitude should I assume toward you?
I beg your pardon?
Well, when we're alone, complete deference, naturally. No one has ever criticized my manners. But when you have guests, do you want me to remain aloof and distant, or would you prefer an affectionate and loving wife?
Well,
both techniques have their supporters, that's why I ask. Some people insist that any exhibition of tenderness is vulgar, and that even honeymooners should notice each other only when they're alone. On the other hand, some disagree. And many men seem willing and even proud to let people know their wives are fond of them. What is your approach to that problem?
Well, I've never had occasion to consider it. On first thought, and only in a small group.
Oh, of course, in public, complete dignity.
Well, I think that with intimate friends, it might be judicious for you to display some affection. and even admiration.
I had planned on the admiration anyway, which will be little effort.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
As for me, I think I'll show you unmistakable tenderness, if you don't object.
I don't. I know you well enough to be sure you will never exceed the proper limits.
Naturally. Now, something very important. It must be apparent that you take a great interest in my career, in my business affairs.
Oh, will you train me?
Certainly. The public wants a prominent official's wife to stand at his side, to share in his struggles as well as his rewards. So that's the prime impression I want you to make.
You may depend on me. No one will ever doubt that my only concern is your success, and of course your mental and physical welfare. If you become ill, I shall be dreadfully worried. An accident, God forbid, would drive me frantic. And if you had to have an operation, I would spend sleepless nights and go around in the morning looking terrible. That all goes without saying. It would be routine.
Well, I hope my health is good enough to keep you from overworking.
I hope so, too. But we want to think of everything.
Yes.
Perhaps I'd better make some notes so as not to forget.
Oh, really? Here's a pad and pencil.
Thank you. Entertainment, travel, business, affection, illness. What about my days off?
What?
Well, I wouldn't ask for every Thursday and every other Sunday like the regular help, or from Saturday noon until Monday morning like an office worker. I realize that might be impractical, but this is a responsible and confining job, and I've got to have a little rest every week.
Well, I understand, but a regular schedule
is
hardly consistent.
I'll leave it up to you, then. Provided I can get away for, say, 5 full days each month. Is that all right?
On those days, would you want to stay out overnight?
Would you mind?
Well, it's not precisely customary.
That's true. Most wives sleep in. Perhaps we could arrange an excuse. I could have a sister or a cousin in Philadelphia.
Well, once you're living in this house, I hope you like it well enough not to want to.
Oh, it's not my physical comfort I'm thinking about. That's going to be magnificent, I have no doubt.
Then what is it?
Mr. Henderson, sometimes people do get married for love, you know. So you might realize that I might be interested in someone and wish to see him occasionally.
Not in public, I hope.
Well,
now look, Miss Elliot. One of your first duties will obviously be not to make me look ridiculous. Suppose you and that someone should be seen together.
This is just like being a school teacher.
But I'm a bit perturbed to hear that. I understood you were strictly alone.
Oh, I am now, but I can't guarantee the future. It's quite possible that someday I might meet the man who would keep me from being alone any longer.
Well, I hope you do meet him, but forgive my selfishness. Not too soon.
Not too soon.
You see, if you were to fall in love with a man, you'd be tempted not to keep any secrets from him. And of course, no one on earth should know the details of our arrangement.
Of course not. Well, now we seem to have covered all the important points.
Except your salary. Do you have any ideas about that?
Why don't you tell me yours first?
How about $1,500 a month?
That seems reasonable. Provided I have a guarantee, of course.
What do you mean?
Well, now, just let's suppose that 2 months after our marriage, certain events take place, and suddenly you'll have no further need of my services. Well, I will have given up my teaching career, left Minneapolis, changed my whole way of life for only $3,000, and I simply can't afford it.
Well, how can we fix that?
Well, you could guarantee me a minimum of 3 years' work. That would be 36 months or $54,000, with the privilege of extending it on the same terms at your option. If you retain me for 3 years or more, I am not entitled to any severance pay. But if the job ends sooner, I will receive in a lump sum the difference between what I'd already been paid and said guarantee of $54,000.
Well, you're quite a businesswoman.
That's another field in which I might be of some assistance to you.
All right, $54,000.
I'll jot that down.
Naturally, we can't sign any contract.
Oh, your word is good enough. What about my clothes?
You'll charge them to me.
Hats? Shoes?
Of course.
A beauty parlor?
Why don't you just take an allowance for miscellaneous incidentals, say, $300 a month?
I ought to manage on that.
$300. Well, Senator, that just about takes care of everything. When do I start work? I mean, when do we have the wedding, sir?
Well, we should allow some time to notice each other, to get interested in each other. I think we can figure on a month.
Very well. Until then, let me know how you wish to proceed, when and where you wish to see me. I'll keep all my time free.
Splendid. Starting today?
Oh, tomorrow, if you don't mind. I wasn't entirely prepared for your offer, so I do have a few other things to do this afternoon.
You're right ahead. It's a deal?
It's a deal. Oh, my telephone number is National 6422.
Oh, yes.
I'll expect to hear from you any time after 8 tomorrow morning.
Oh, let's make it 10. I'll never disturb you before that.
Oh, that's wonderful. I love to sleep late. Well, you know, this job really has a great deal to offer. Good afternoon, Senator.
Well done, June Havoc and Shepard Studwick. A divine performance. And now a word from our darling sponsor, the Reynolds Metals Company, on the little thing that holds your home together. Could this be love?
No, Miss Bankhead. The little thing that holds most homes together is very simply the nail. And what a pointed lesson it teaches. Why, do you realize that one of the common symbols, and not a good symbol, of past generations has been the rusty nail? The drooping boards of Farmer Brown's barn are due to rusted nails. The ugly streaks that mar the new white paint of many homes, they come from ordinary nails that rust and dribble that telltale stain. And there's no need for it. Because aluminum, Reynolds Aluminum, can eliminate the rusty nail from our language. You can get Reynolds Lifetime Aluminum nails in standard sizes, sharp-pointed, job-tested, etched for greater holding power. Whatever construction or repairing you do, ask your dealer for Reynolds Lifetime Aluminum Nails. And let this modern nail point the way to other Lifetime building products. Roofing and siding, gutters and downspouts, insulation, windows. Made by the Reynolds Metals Company, one of America's great producers of aluminum.
I want to chat with you, June Havoc and Shepard Studwick, darlings, but first, let me have half a moment to ring my chimes. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
This is The Big Show, Act Two. This portion brought to you by Buick dealers all over the land who will premiere the new 1952 Buicks this Saturday, January 19th. And what Buicks they are. New Roadmasters that combine new fine car luxury with dynamic new power. New Supers with glamorous new beauty inside and out. And advanced new specials that bring you big car features, size, and performance at prices within the reach of any new car buyer. Believe me, folks, it sure is true for 52. When better automobiles are built, Buick will build them. So don't miss the big show. Plan to see the new 1952 Buicks at your local Buick dealers this Saturday. And now here is Tallulah Bankhead chatting with June Havoc and Shepard Studwick.
June, darling, I only want to say that I thought your performance tonight was wonderful. And you're a splendid little actress. Thanks for being with us and good night.
Just a minute, Tallulah. Why the brush off? I thought you wanted to chat with me.
No, darling. Let's just leave it at that, shall we? And now, ladies and gentlemen...
Wait a minute. Aren't you going to insult me?
No, darling. And now, ladies and gentlemen...
Why not? What's the matter? I'm not good enough to be insulted?
Oh, you're perfect for insults, June, but this would be too easy. And it would only lead to a lot of unpleasantness, because after all, we both did different versions of the same play. You remember? I was in the dramatic version of Rain, and you appeared in the musical version of Rain, when it was called Sadie Thompson, and comparisons would be quite odious.
That's true. You were.
I laugh. So, it's going to be that kind of a chat, huh? Okay, roll up your sleeves, Buster. And speaking of sleeves, June, about that gown you're wearing, I'm sorry now I didn't tell you that the girls on our show dress up in their best gowns.
Well, this just happens to be my best dress. I had it made to order.
Oh, really, darling? For whom?
For meme.
Oh, of course, I see. I can't imagine anyone else being seen in it.
There's plenty of you being seen in that dress you're wearing.
Why do you think they call this the big show?
Now, really, Tallulah, who welded together that gown you're wearing? No, I don't mean to knock it. It's very popular. As a matter of fact, housewives all over town are wearing it. As a matter of fact, I saw it... I'm sorry, Tallulah, but I did see it in Gimble's basement yesterday.
Oh, is that where you shop, darling?
Only for this show, dear.
Well, this gown I'm wearing happens to be the original creation.
Mm-hmm. It looks like the original creation before they separated the sea from the earth.
Well, I will return good for evil. I must admit, June, that your dress does do something for you.
Thank you.
It brings out the highlights in your face. And what color is it, darling?
Green. Oh.
Yes, I know. I mean your dress.
Has anyone noticed that I've been standing here for 2 minutes without anything to say?
Yes, I have, Shepard. And let's keep it that way. Now, June, another thing about that dress.
It's just that it's rather embarrassing standing here with nothing to say.
Well, go away, darling. Now, June, when you talk about
Tallulah,
the way I'm...
It's embarrassing standing here with nothing on. I mean, with nothing to say.
Oh, what do you want, Shepard?
I only wanted to say, Tallulah, that I think your dress is becoming.
Now, look, Shepard, would you please go... Oh, you think my gown is becoming?
Yes, yes. But my question is, when will the rest be coming?
And I have a question, Tallulah. When will I be coming into the script
here?
Oh,
come on over here, Fred Allen. Fred, darling, did you think I'd forgotten all about you?
No, Tallulah, but I did think you were working on it. This show is not 30 minutes old, and I use the word advisedly, and in those 30 minutes, I have been given the opportunity to create a lasting impression in one short appearance. I would have made a greater impression had I made one appearance in short. I think it is high time now, for the benefit of some Buicks that may have tuned in, to take my rightful place here on this stage and become a ball of fire. So with this in mind, I take this match, I strike it, and I set fire to my clothes.
Oh, now, Fred, don't do that.
Well, just don't stand there, Tallulah. I'm blazing. Get some marshmallows.
Oh,
and some Boy Scouts. Make a small circle around me while I become an old pilot like here.
Now, Fred, darling, setting fire to your clothes. I don't see the necessity for that.
Well, Tallulah, for once the critics will have to say, well done, Fred Allen. Self-made clinker, I
Well, now, look, Fred, simmer down.
Really?
If you want to be a ball of fire, why don't you join me in doing our version of that play June and Shepard just did, My Affairs in This State. How about it, Fred?
Well, as the father of those new quadruplets in Brooklyn said to his wife, you're kidding.
Not Fred, and here we go. Now, Meredith, set the stage with some music, will you, sweetie pie? My name is Irene Elliott. I used to be a school teacher in Minneapolis, but I had no principal. So I went to Washington, D.C. The only teaching job I could get was to teach kindergarten. After a year of that, I tried to get a job teaching in the first grade, but there was no first grade. Everybody in Washington goes right from kindergarten into politics. So I stayed with the kindergarten class, teaching them the three R's, reading, writing, and Republican. Then I became a private tutor. I even taught a little geography. Washington, D.C. is the city with the largest population in Missouri. Well, I finally had to give up teaching when I taught physical education to college boys. They became too physical. And I was getting too much education. It was then that I met Senator George Henderson, and we were married in name only. And you should hear some of the names we've been calling each other.
My name is Senator George Henderson. My middle name is George. I never even wanted to get into politics, but my mother named me Senator George Henderson. And I have been in Washington ever since, trying to get elected. It runs in my family. My father's first name was Alderman. Alderman Sam Henderson. And everybody in town knew Patrolman Alderman Sam Henderson. I have a cousin named President. He's my cousin Dewey. And you know what that got him. The last time I was up for election, they told me I ought to get married, because a married man has a better chance. They didn't say for what.
Oh, there you are, Senator George Henderson. I've been looking for you all over the house.
You've been married to me long enough to know you never find a senator in the house. What did you want, Irene?
Well, I'm going out on a date. I'll see you in the morning.
Going out tonight? You can't do that. We're on the eve of an election.
I am sick and tired of hearing all about election eve. We've been married 24 years. You haven't been elected yet. I'm going. Good night, Senator George Henderson.
Now, just a minute, Irene. You can't do that.
But I've got a date. I can't keep this man dangling any longer.
But not tonight, Irene. I've invited some very important senators to dinner. What can I tell them?
Oh, you can explain it somehow.
Oh, sure. My wife isn't here. She went out on a date. Go explain that to Senator Toby.
Well,
with his
I
green
don't care.
Eye shade and his parables. Go tell him that.
Tell me later, Fred, I didn't hear it. I don't care what you tell them, Senator George Henderson. I am not going to sit through another one of those dull dinners till midnight with you acting like a loving husband, kissing me, holding my hand. And then after the company's gone, we're all alone. It's good night, Irene.
Hello, Mommy. Hello, Daddy.
No, Portland. Stop calling us Mummy and Daddy when there's nobody here.
Yes, I explained that to you when I hired you to be our child of convenience 24 years ago.
Oh, excuse me.
Well.
Hello, Senator Henderson. Hello, Miss Idiot.
That's Elliot.
Excuse me.
And where do you think you're going?
I'm going out tonight.
You are doing no such thing. I need you here tonight.
But I've got to get home and see my husband. I haven't seen him in 3 years. That's the latest I've ever stayed out.
You are staying here, and so is my wife, Miss Elliot.
Not me.
Me either. I've got to get home to my husband. I've been here so long, I've got 2 new babies that I haven't even seen yet.
But I've got a chance to be elected this year.
Senator George Henderson, you've been telling us that for 24 years. When you didn't get elected that first time, you asked us to stay on for another 6 years. Then you didn't get elected again, and so we stayed on another 6 years. And another 6 years, and another, and another,
but
and another.
But this is going to be my lucky year. I didn't tell you this, but I've a wonderful scheme to be elected this time.
What's that?
This year, I am changing parties.
For 24 years, you've been a Republican, and you picked this year to switch.
I'm tired of being an elephant. For a change, I want to be a jackass.
That's no change. Okay, Portland, take off your things. We're stuck here for another 6 years. Thank you, Fred and Porty. That was fun. Well, at least I enjoyed it. And now I believe Ed Hurley has a musical theme he wants to try out on us.
Yes, that's my cue to spread the good word, folks, because I have some news that's really surprising. It's simply this. In times like these, when folks are saying the 52 cars will be pretty much like last year's, the new Buicks are really newsworthy. Fact is, the new 1952 Buicks bring you sensational new features you thought were years away. Just wait till you see their exciting new styling, dynamic new power, amazing new economy. No doubt about it, Here comes the most dazzling lineup of Buicks that ever hit the highway, from headlight to taillight, inside and out. Now, I won't spoil the surprises you're in for by telling you too much about them, but I will tell you that these new Buicks are so packed with exciting new features, you'd better not decide on any new car until you see them. So make a date right now. Be among the first to see and drive the new 1952 Buicks at your Buick dealers this coming Saturday.
The recordings of Tony Bennett are always up there on top. He's the jukebox favorite. And right now, there are three songs he sings, which are 1, 2, 3, on most of the record polls throughout the country. We've asked Tony to give us a kind of medley of the theme, of the three. I'm sure you'll all recognize them as Meredith Wilson, the Big Show Orchestra, accompanied Tony Meredith. Tony Bennett, my darling, I'm sorry. Meredith, if you please.
Because of you.
Since you're gone, I spend each lonely night dealing out the cards from left to right. And the Queen of Hearts is there to remind me that I'm all alone, just playing solitaire. Love was just another game for two. I see now that's all it meant to you. And my heart got lost somewhere in the shuffle. Now I'm all alone, just playing solitaire. I tried so hard, my dear, to show that you're my every dream. Yet you're afraid each thing I do is just some evil scheme. A memory from your lonesome past keeps us so far apart. Why can't I free your doubtful mind and melt your cold, cold heart because of you?
Because of you,
there's a song in my heart. Because of you, my romance had its start. Because of you, the sun will shine, the moon and stars will say you're mine forever and never to part. I only live for your love and your kiss. It's paradise to be near you like this. Because of you, my life is now worthwhile, and I can smile. Because of you.
I must smile because of you.
This portion of the Big Show has been brought to you by your local Buick dealer, who invites you to see the smartest Buicks ever, the new 1952 Buicks, at your Buick dealers this Saturday, January 19th. It's a great new car show, and there'll be plenty for the whole family to see. For in 1952, Buick again brings you dazzling new proof that when better automobiles are built, Buick will build them. So remember the time, this Saturday, January 19th. The place, your local Buick dealers. The event, the nationwide premiere of the surprising new 1952 Buicks. At Buick dealers everywhere.
Well, a new Cecil B. DeMille picture opened last week at Radio City Music Hall, and it stars our next guest. The picture, A Story of the Circus, is called The Greatest Show on Earth. The part played by our lovely guest called for some daredevil wake on the trapeze. She was determined to make The Greatest Show on Earth a really great picture. So rather than have a double do those dangerous stunts for her, she practically took her life in her hands and did them herself. And here she is now, the greatest schmo on earth, Miss Betty Hutton.
Calling a schmo.
Well, I only meant, darling, the things you did in that picture. You took your life in your hands.
Yeah? How about you, every Sunday night? I sure told her, didn't I? I'm not afraid of her. I'm not afraid of you. Go ahead, hit me. Throw me off the show. Don't pay me. Keep me out of radio. I don't need radio. I've got pictures. Okay, talk to the picture producers. Get me barred from the studios. I can still sing with a band, you know. Okay, tell Vincent Lopez not to give my old job back. Okay, so I can't find any work. Nobody will hire me. Tell me, Tallulah, why, oh, why have you ruined my career like this?
If I had known this was for the Academy Award, I'd have read those lines myself. And Betty, my sweet, if that's a sample of your dramatic ability, all I can say is I hope you've saved your money.
Oh, I've saved my money. Don't worry about me. Don't worry about me. I'll get along. I saved my voice, too. Don't you wish you had?
I keep mine in the vault, darling. And don't say that's where it sounds like it's coming from. But Betty, darling, I didn't mean to start bickering with you. I was only concerned that you may have fallen off and hurt yourself. You do some dangerous tricks in that picture.
You think that was something? Let me tell you about a guy that auditioned for a really dangerous job in that picture. He walked up to Mr. DeMille and he said he could jump from a 200-foot platform into a little bucket of sawdust. Mr. DeMille said he didn't believe it, and the guy said he'd show him. So he goes up 200 feet and the drums start to roll. Brrr! Down he comes, boom! Right into the middle of that little bucket of sawdust. Gets up, brushes himself off. Mr. DeMille rushed over and said, I'll give you $500 to do that in the picture. The guy said, nah. Mr. DeMille said, I'll give you $1,000. The guy said, nah. DeMille said, $2,000 or name your own price. And the guy said, to tell you the truth, Mr. DeMille, this is the first time I ever tried that and I don't think I'm going to like it.
That's very funny, Betty. But if you think that was a trick, let me tell you about a picture I made. Now, it was called Lifeboat. We were supposed to be adrift in the middle of the ocean, and for 2 days I had to act as if I were thirsting for a drink of water. Now, that's what I call a trick.
Yeah, picture work can really be rough.
Well, Betty, I'm glad you came out of your latest picture without any scars.
Oh, I am, too. You know, some of the circus performers in the picture told me about an accident that happened once. One of the trapeze artists broke his neck.
Oh, my goodness, darling, that must have been quite a fall.
Oh, he didn't fall. It happened in the dressing room. He was getting a rub down and he broke his neck trying to lick the alcohol off his back.
Well, darling, I know your picture will be a big success. There are a lot of people, I suppose, who are enchanted by circus.
Well, aren't you, Tallulah? Have you ever been to a three-ring circus?
Been to a three-ring circus? I am a three-ring circus. Now, sweetie, why don't you let us hear a typical Betty Hutton song? Preferably that one you were rehearsing with the orchestra today.
Oh, you mean that great arrangement by Joe Lilly way down yonder in New Orleans?
That's the one, my darling Betty. Meredith, how about the orchestra helping our guest out with Way Down Yonder in New Orleans? And don't let her drown you out, darlings. Don't be scared.
Stop! Where do you think I'm going when the cold, cold breezes blow? I said stop! Where do you think I'm going when the winds are blowing cold? Not east, not west, and I go into the cuckoo's nest. Oh, but I'm gonna go where I love best. Well, life is one sweet song, and that's way down yonder, down in New Orleans, down in the land of those dreaming dreams. Got a Garden of Eden, oh, you know what I mean, 'cause they've got those Creole babies, flashing eyes, softly whispering tender sighs. Stop! Come on and give your lady fair just a little smile. I said stop, you bet your life you're gonna linger there just a little while. 'Cause we got a lot of ladies right here on earth, a lot of beautiful queens, way down yonder, yonder down in New Orleans.
Olé, olé, olé.
Orange blossoms, sweet aroma, and the tune of that La Paloma seemed to put me right in a coma, yonder down in New Orleans. Again, I see a little beach arena dancing to a tuna, you know what I mean. She can shake a mean tambourina yonder down in New Orleans. Yes, way down yonder down in New Orleans, down in the land of those dreaming dreams. Got a Garden of Eden, ho ho, you know what I mean, 'cause they've got those Creole babies, flashing eyes, softly whispering tender sighs. Come on and give your lady fair just a little smile. I said, come on, you're gonna linger there just a little while. 'Cause we got a lot of ladies right here on earth, a lot of beautiful queens, way down yonder, yonder down in New Orleans. Ho, ho, Louisiana, heading home, Louisiana. Come on, Louisiana, well aboard, Louisiana, way down yonder, yonder down in New Orleans.
Betty Hutton, I just love you. These microphones may never be the same again. But wonderfully done, darling, nevertheless.
Hey, Tallulah.
Yes, what is it, Betty? And it's not hey, Tallulah, just make it simple. Tallulah.
Oh, hey, a simple Tallulah.
I should have quit when I was ahead. Betty, you're too bouncy for me. Don't you ever sit still. I can't keep up with you. Why do you get all that energy?
Oh, I watch myself. You see, the secret is to eat the right foods. Now, every morning I have a bowl full of nourishing cereals.
Oh, I have a kitchen full of that stuff.
And during the day, I eat plenty of green vegetables.
Uh-huh, I have a kitchen full of that stuff, too.
I have a half a dozen bottles of milk a day.
I have a kitchen full of bottles.
And besides all that, I have youth. Get that out of your kitchen.
Say, that's an idea. I never thought of that. A youth in my kitchen.
Speaking of youth, may I sashay up here, Betty, and add my modicum of praise for the way you sang that song, for what my modicum is worth, of course.
Oh, it's worth a lot to me, Fred.
Really?
You know, some of the best times I ever had was being on your radio show. Well, why haven't you asked me to be on your radio show this time?
Bow your head when you say that, Betty.
Why? I thought it was a wonderful show, one of the flashiest shows in radio.
Well, Betty, it went the way of all flash.
Oh, I'm sorry, Fred. What are you doing now?
Bow your head when you say that, Betty.
Oh, are you off the air, Fred?
Well, I'm not entirely off the air, Betty. I do a lot of telephoning during the day. And coast to coast, too. I was talking to Los Angeles today, did a 3-minute show. The weather out there is just wonderful, you'll be glad to hear.
Well, the weather here sure has been cold. You know, I don't know how you stand the cold weather here, Tallulah.
Oh, it's easy for me, darling. Whenever it gets too cold, I just reread my diary.
You know, In the hotel where I'm stopping, they don't send up enough heat, and I told the manager if he didn't send up more heat, I was going to have to sit on the radiator. And he said, go ahead, it's no skin off his nose.
Well, you hit an unusually cold spell, Betty. Last week, the faucets in our house weren't running. I even read where some trains weren't running. The only one running last week was Eisenhower. At least he said he'd run if he's drafted.
Well, every GI I talked to said they hoped Eisenhower would be drafted just to let him see how it feels. Oh, I'm forgetting, darling. It's about time for me to ring my silver anniversary chimes before we go on to Act Three.
Three chimes of silver.
This is NBC. The National Broadcasting Company.
This is The Bing Show, Act 3. This portion brought to you by Anacin for fast relief from pain of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia. By Dentine, the gum with breathtaking flavor. And Beeman's Pepsin, the gum that's great to chew and good for your digestion, too. And by Chesterfield. Sound off for Chesterfield. Get something new, something no other cigarette has. Chesterfield mildness, plus no unpleasant aftertaste. Tallulah Bankhead will be here in a moment, but first, a word about Anacin. No matter what you now take for headache relief, we urge you to try Anacin for the incredibly fast relief these tablets bring the next time you're suffering from a headache. Now, the reason Anacin is so wonderfully fast-acting and effective is this. Anacin is like a doctor's prescription. That is, Anacin contains not just one, but a combination of medically proven active ingredients in easy-to-take tablet form. Thousands of people have received envelopes containing Anacin tablets from their own dentist or physician, and in this way discovered the incredibly fast relief Anacin brings from pains of headache, neuritis, or neuralgia. So the next time a headache strikes, take Anacin for this wonderfully fast relief. Anacin, A-N-A-C-I-N, Anacin at any drug counter in handy boxes of 12 and 30, economical family-sized bottles of 50 and 100. Now, here is Tallulah Bankhead.
Well, darlings, let's start off this act by letting Meredith Wilson, the Big Show Orchestra and Chorus, show off their talents a little. For their contribution this week, Meredith has chosen Cole Porter's haunting melody, In the Still of the Night. Meredith, if you please, my darling.
From my
Divine Meredith, as always. And now, darlings, comes the hilarious young man who's appeared on our show two or three times before. He's one of Broadway's younger comedians. So get ready for some laughs. Ladies and gentlemen, as we bring to the microphone, Phil Foster.
Thank you, Miss Bankhead. And I would like to explain to everyone why I'm back on the show tonight. It's not the money, because there ain't any. And it's not the prestige, because there ain't any there either. I'm back here because my mother, she's afraid I'm going to remain a single fella. And every morning she wakes me up, she says, get up, get dressed, go out, get a couple of rolls, buy a container of milk, and get married. Very subtle. So, and if you're wondering where the connection is between that and me being on a show, my mother says to me every day, Phil, you're a nice single boy. Every week I hear in a big show, Miss Bankhead, she's a nice single girl. Who knows? So, Miss Bankhead, I've come here tonight to make you the happiest woman in the whole world. I can't marry you. But before you kill yourself, let me explain why not. It's not that I got anything against marriage. That's all right. It's the thing that happens before the marriage that upsets me, the engagement period, basic training. you see, when a guy gets engaged, it's a funny thing. All his friends get together, they hire a small room in a hotel. They sit around with warm sentiments and deep emotion. They tell dirty stories. Well, women, they got a racket the FBI should investigate. They have a series of organized holdups called bridal showers. This is a thing where all the girls get together in one room, and some girl will get up and say, I think since Shirley has been such a lovely girl and a true blue friend, and the president of our organization, I think it's only fair we should give her such a one or two, give her the best gifts possible, the most expensive gifts possible. And I'm not saying this because I'm Shirley's mother. Somebody else will get up and say, I think we ought to decide if it's going to be a lingerie shower or a linen shower or a silverware shower. After all, we might give her the same things. And somebody else will get up and say, you're right. Therefore, I suggest we give her cash, expensive cash. And I'm not saying this because I'm Shirley. Now they have to decide who to invite to the bridal shower. After all, you just can't invite anybody, yet you got to invite a lot of people, get a lot of gifts. So they decide to limit the invitations only to women from the Western Hemisphere. So Shirley's kindergarten teacher, 35 years she didn't see us. She was invited. The man on subway gives a change every morning. His niece was invited. In the middle of the whole thing, the phone rang. It was a woman with the wrong number. She was invited. Now they send out invitations. Of course, the men won't believe this, but the women know I'm not lying. They usually read something like, "Peek-a-boo, an invitation for you. There is a shower at the Franklin Tower. Shirley, her husband, has finally landed. So please come early, but not empty-handed." Then comes the afternoon of the shower, and this is supposed to be a big surprise. For whom? Everybody knows it's going to be a shower. The best friend thanks to Shirley and says, "I think you ought to come with me to Sally's house. Would you like?" She says, "I'd love to." So they go over to Sally's house, and Shirley lets out one scream. "A shower? For me? You didn't have to have a shower for me. I like you all without a shower." And the best of friends will say, "Shh, wait till we open the door." You know, it's a funny thing. It's a funny thing. When they start to open up the different gifts, you can tell from the sounds that come from around the room just how much it's worth. It's the truth. If you open up a gift that's worth about $5, somebody must say, About $10, somebody must say, About $20, somebody must say, "Hey, wow. $50, somebody must say, "She got it wholesale." The end of the afternoon, the husband-to-be usually shows up to help carry home the loot. This fellow usually shows up with a stupid grin. Now, there's a reason for that. He's usually stupid. I forgot to tell you, this couple never got married. But with the gifts they got, they opened up a little store. You know, one of the big reasons that I don't think I'll ever get married is, also, I have one other complaint, is that sometimes before you get married, you have to meet the father-in-law and sit down and figure out a wedding list. And since the father-in-law usually picks up the tab, well, he has a right to cross off different names. So if the guy brings up a name, the father-in-law usually says, "What do you need him for? He's a distant relative." By the end of the evening, they have invited 288 people to the wedding, 287 from her side, and he has a choice, either his mother or his father. But my mother has very fond hopes that this thing could still happen, Ms. Bankhead. So I would like to invite you to a dinner my mother's making, and we'd like to invite you to the house. I want you to come formal. As a matter of fact, I'd like you to wear that wonderful dress, that beautiful dress with the ermine wrap and the diamond tiara, the one that you got when they gave you the Woman of the Year award in radio. She'd be wonderful. I want you to come to the house Friday night. When you come, I forgot to tell you, you got to take the Avenue A bus.
Now here's something of interest to you. For breathless moments, for your breathless moments,
chew Dentine, the gum with breathtaking flavor.
Dentine tastes so good.
Dentine freshens your breath.
Dentine helps keep your teeth sparkling clean and white.
Dentine, the gum with breathtaking flavor.
Before you go out and always after eating, drinking, smoking, refresh your breath with Dentine. You'll love Dentine chewing gum, for Dentine has a wonderful, tingling, nippy flavor that lingers on and on. It's delicious. And remember, Dentine helps keep your teeth white, too. Keep Dentine handy. You'll enjoy refreshing your breath when you chew Dentine. So for breathless moments, for your breathless moments,
chew Dentine, the gum with breath. Taking flavor.
Well, I think we're letting Vera Lynn off too easily. It was just one song. When in London last summer, I heard a recording of Vera's that was one of the most beautiful ballads I've ever heard. We're fortunate to have Vera here in person now to sing If You Go. Meredith, darling, if you please.
If you go, if you love me no more, if I know that you want me no more, then the sun would lose its light, the day turn into night, night with a star, deep night with a star. If you go, if you leave me alone, if I know you're no longer my own, winter would replace the spring, the birds no more would sing. This cannot be. Stay here with me. My heart would die, I know, if you should go. If you go, if you love me no more, if I know that you want to me no more, then the sun would lose its light, the day turn into night, night without stars, deep night without stars. If you go, if you leave me alone, if I know you're no longer my own, winter would replace the spring, the birds no more would sing. This cannot be.
That was Summer Divine, darling. What a beautiful song. I'd love to add it to my repertoire. What's the name of the game?
If You Go. And if you did add it to your repertoire, it's gone.
Oh, fine. 1 week in America and she's real gone. Now let's hear from someone who's real, real gone. Let's hear Bing Crosby sound off for Chesterfield.
Chesterfield.
Friends, take a tip from Brother Bing. Get on the ball, get in the swing. Chesterfield is on the move with something smokers all approve. Mildness plus,
no aftertaste.
Mildness plus,
no aftertaste.
No unpleasant aftertaste. Chesterfield.
That's right.
From Florida to Oregon, Chesterfield salesmen are on the run, bringing dealers fresh supplies of the smoke that satisfies Chesterfield.
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 Chesterfield. Modern.
Chesterfield.
That's right.
Yes, Chesterfield is the smoke for you. They're milder, better tasting too. Chesterfield now sets the pace with no unpleasant aftertaste. So here's what we want you to do.
Right now.
Yes, here's what we want you to do.
Right now.
Sound off.
For Chesterfield.
Oh, sound off.
For Chesterfield.
Try a pack of Chesterfields. Do it.
Today.
Vera, darling, I meant to ask you. You're not going back to England very soon, are you?
No, I'll be here for a little while.
Oh, well, good. We must get together real soon, darling, huh?
How about tonight?
Oh, well, that's a little sooner than I'd counted on. But I don't see why not. Would you like to go out to dinner?
That would be fine. Just the two of us?
Well, if you want more company, I know what. Fred Allen.
Yes?
Fred, darling, we'd like to have you and Porter for dinner.
Oh, you wouldn't like us, Tulu. We're getting a little tough and stringy. I'm gamey, but Portland is still... Portland is still rather attractive on parsley. The little hollandaise.
No, we're going out to dinner, darling. We thought you'd like to join us.
Us? How many is that? You know, we don't like big parties going out to dinner.
No, there's only the four of us. You know, you and Portland and Villain and I.
Oh, that sounds fine. We'll be glad to, thank you.
Yes, if it's only the four of us.
Oh, would you like a date, Vera?
Well, yes, that would be nice. I would rather enjoy going out with one of your refined, typically American men.
Well, that's just who I had in mind. Phil Foster.
Yo! Come on, kid. What's the bit?
Phil, how would you like to go out to dinner tonight with a beautiful, talented, personable, intelligent young lady?
You got a girl who's beautiful, talented, personable, and intelligent?
That's right.
So what does she want to go out with me?
Oh, now, Phil, you're just too modest.
Get out of here. Look, I'm not good looking. I'm a lousy dancer. You hear how I talk. I'm a sloppy dresser and I eat very noisy.
No, Phil, that's not true. You're handsome. You're witty. You're debonair. You're well-dressed and very charming.
Me? You're kidding.
No, I'm not. I mean it.
Yeah? So what I want to go out with her for?
Well... You will when I tell you who it is. And besides, Fred Allen's coming along with us.
Fred's my date?
No, Phil.
To Fred, I may be debonair and smart. And to you, I may be debonair and smart. But to a real girl, I'm a slob.
I think you're debonair and smart, Mr. Foster.
Yeah? And who are you?
Well, this is Vera Lynn. That is your date. The five of us are going out.
Well, five is rather cumbersome to lose, so maybe we'd better drop out.
Just a minute. Can I talk to you, Fred?
What is it, Phil?
Did you notice there's three girls and two fellas?
Yeah.
That means if you and me split the check, it'll cost us more. We've got to get another fella. Tallulah, how about getting a date for you? And I got just the fella, Shepard. Shepard Strudel.
Not the way to pronounce my name.
All right, Sheephart Strudel.
Shepard, would you like to be my date for dinner tonight?
I'd like it very much, but I came with June Havoc. Do you mind if she comes along?
And not if you don't, darling. Oh, come here, June. Can't you join us for dinner?
I'd love to. Who's going?
Oh, just the seven of us.
Well, now we may have to get a parade permit for this dinner.
And Fred.
Yeah?
We're still one girl too many.
That's right, and one man too many, too. You know, that Sheephart Strudel, he doesn't look like the type that picks up a check, Phil. Short fingers.
You're right, Fred. June, how about a date to go with you?
Of course, just a thing. Tony Bennett, come here, darling. You want to take June to dinner tonight?
Well, if she'll go with me, sure.
Well, I'd love to.
There we are. Nice little party. Just the eight of us.
Well, maybe I ought to drop out to Lou. You're all such a young crowd.
Oh, not at all, Fred. I'm going. What am I saying? Well, I mean, we're all going out. We're going to have a good time.
Oh, we are we?
Oh, Betty, darling.
Betty, darling. See, who do you think I am? You're treating me like I'm the wrong Betty. This is Betty Hutton, you know, one of the stars of The Greatest Show on Earth, now playing the Radio City Music Hall five shows every day.
Well, bravo, John. Bravo, Betty. That's great, darling. Of course you're coming along, Betty. And to show you what we think of you, you can pay the check.
Oh, gee, would you really, Tallulah? You know, if you'll do that, I'll take you all over the music hall and let you see my picture, The Greatest Show on Earth.
Well, I think I got the worst of that deal.
I've got a wonderful idea. Why don't we all go up to the Music Box Theater and see me in Affairs of State, huh?
Well, if it's going to be plug time, I've got a better idea. Why don't you all come over to my house? I'm having the regular Sunday night showing of my picture, Lifeboat. How about it?
Well, good night, Tallulah.
Don't you want to see Lifeboat, Fred?
Like Captain Carlson, I've stayed with that ship long enough.
Yes, Master.
Well, the rest of you can all come to my house. You want to see Lifeboat, don't you, Phil?
Is George Brent in it?
No, George Brent is not in it.
Then I don't go. I never see a picture that ain't got George Brent in it.
Well, now that's silly, Phil. I mean, after all, my...
All right, some eccentric. But I happen to like George Brent. So you can all go see Betty's picture. Me, I'll go home and look at my life-sized autographed picture of George Brent.
Well, all right, then the rest of it will go. June, come back here, darling. What are you sneaking off to?
I just remembered I have an important date on Wednesday.
But this is only Sunday.
I like to get there early. Good night.
Well, the sixth will go to...
Good night, Tallulah.
Where are you going, Shepard?
I'm the date June was talking about. Good night.
Well, the five of us will all now...
Well, better make that the four of you, Tallulah. Good night.
Oh, good night, darling. Well, the three of us. Betty, come back here. How do you like that? Cowards. Well, Billy, we sure had some expensive evening, didn't we? We had a big dinner, saw two pictures. We really had a time, didn't we? We must do it again real soon.
Yes, we must. You know, Tallulah, I learned something tonight. If this is the way you go out all the time, I understand how you Americans have so much money.
Well, that's our show for this week, darlings. Next week, we'll have as our guests Shirley Booth, Vera Lynn, Jack Pearl and Cliff Hall, Dick Powell, Earl Wrightson and others, and, of course, our very own Meredith Wilson and the Big Show Orchestra and Chorus. And until then, may the good Lord bless and keep you, whether near or far away, Vera.
May you find that long-awaited golden day today,
Shepherd.
May your troubles all be small ones and your fortune 10 times 10,
Betty.
May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet again.
Portland.
May you walk with sunlight shining and a bluebird in every tree.
Meredith.
May there be a silver lining back of every cloud you see.
Phil.
Fill your dreams with sweet tomorrow. Never mind what might have been. Brett.
May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet again, June.
May you long recall each rainbow, then you'll soon forget the rain.
Tony.
May the warm and tender memories be the one that will remain.
Fill your dreams with sweet tomorrows. Never mind what might have been.
May the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet again.
May the good Lord bless and keep you.
And Godspeed to our armed forces everywhere. Good night, darlings.
This portion of the Big Show has been brought to you by Anacin for fast relief from pain of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia. And by Dentine, the gum with breathtaking flavor, and Beeman's Pepsin, the gum that's great to chew and good for your digestion, too. And by Chesterfield. Sound off for Chesterfield. Get something new, something no other cigarette has. Chesterfield mildness plus no unpleasant aftertaste. The first half hour of the Big Show is presented by the makers of Reynolds Aluminum, the Reynolds Metals Company, who also bring you the Kate Smith Evening Hour on the NBC Television Network. And we were happy to welcome tonight Buick, whose new 1952 models will be at your local Buick dealers this Saturday. The Big Show is produced and directed by D. Engelbach and written by Goodman Ace, Selma Diamond, George Foster, Mort Green, and Frank Wilson. The chorus is directed by Ray Charles, special musical arrangements by Sidney Fine and Earl Wrightson. Earl Lawrence, this is Ed Hurley saying good night. Next on NBC.